strange words on there the first time, Corky. I don't know. The second time around, it worked. Yeah. Well, we are undergoing some major changes that I'm not sure that a lot of us, including me, are aware of what's happening. But I have some things that I'm beginning to understand that I'm not sure I can even reveal. It tells us back in Isaiah, in chapter 28, verse 9, it says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." And then the revelation. It's right there. "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." And it's like, oh, really? What do you learn from stammering lips and another tongue? An unknown tongue. Nothing. Mm-hmm. What do you learn from it? "To whom he said, this is a rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is a refreshing, yet they would not hear." And so the fundamentals say, what good is this? Why do we need this? And then in the book of Joel, in verse chapter 2 and 28, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit." And so I walked into an environment where a Lutheran minister, and I went there because it was a Lutheran minister, and where he had received the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, and had prayed for people, and God was healing people miraculously. Herbert Murud from the north side of Minneapolis somewhere. And he gave a testimony and shared what had happened, and it took me by surprise. But you know what? Immediately I believed what I heard. And he says, "Does anywhere here want to receive the Holy Spirit?" And I raised my hand, and a young fellow came and sat down. I'd have no idea. Of course, we were both young fellows at that time. And I don't know who he was. I didn't even get a good look at him. He put his hand on my shoulder, and that's the last I knew for at least an hour, or maybe two. I had an old-fashioned baptism of the Holy Spirit, and different than any other that I'm familiar with. But I tell you what, when I finally became aware that I was in, people around me, most of the people were gone, and I couldn't drive the car. Joanne had to drive the car back to where we lived, but it says in Acts 1:8, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. This is a refreshing wherewith you cause the weary to rest, and yet they would not hear. What happened? The refreshing came. It wasn't the stammering lips and another tongue. That was the evidence of what happened. It was what happened afterwards that caused the power and caused things to happen. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon us. Totally took me by surprise. in answer to a prophecy that was given to that church 5 years before that, fulfilled it to a T, did exactly what God said was going to happen. And I tell you what the revelation is. That when it says in Revelation, the second and third chapters, and it says to each of the seven churches, it says, "And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church." Let me reemphasize that. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. It takes stammering lips in another tongue. It takes Holy Spirit intervention before we can ever hear what the Spirit is saying. We can hear what men say with their enticing words of men's wisdom, but if we don't have the spiritual ear to hear, we can't hear what the Spirit is saying. And so, how do you get a spiritual ear? Well, Peter said, by these exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers of God's divine nature. A nature change has to take place. There's a nature change that's been taking place in me. I'm going to, I'm kind of all over the map, but I want to tell you something that's been happening to me. And the latest one. The question of predestination. That's a biggie. That is a thing that has done as much damage as the modern way that people approach predestination. It has done a lot of damage to people because they think we're predestined anyway, so we either go to heaven or we don't. That's God's choice. And so, and it looks like it. It says, you know, that he did predestinate. And the problem is, as I listen to the Scriptures and listen to the Scriptures and listen to the Scriptures, I begin to understand. God is not like you are and I am. He made us. God has such an unbelievable ability that He can see 1,000 years ahead of time and pinpoint something right to the second, to the tiniest iota, is able to look inside of our system and know our thoughts. Every thought, any thought you're thinking this morning is not out of God's reach. He knows what you're thinking. Is that scary or not? Yeah, that's kind of scary. And so it says, here's what it says, and I finally got it. It finally registered. Those that He foreknew, He did predestinate. So He says, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. Jacob was a scoundrel.
That's right.
He was a cheater. He was a liar. I don't know too much about
Esau.
We don't know that much about him. But he stole... See, Esau, they were twins, but Esau was born a second before. So he was the older brother and should have had the inheritance, or the, what do they call it? The
birthright.
The birthright. He should have had the birthright, but he tricked his dad into giving it to him. And so poor Isaac, in his old age, you know, he didn't really realize what had happened, and Jacob deceived him. He deceived Laban. And Laban, of course, and Laban in return deceived him. And he ended up with the two Laban daughters instead of the one that he wanted in the first place. And so here we are, you know, God knew Jacob. By foreknowledge, God knew who Jacob was and eventually turned his name into Israel. And the Israelites have come from a man that was a crook. That God knew was not a crook. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So by foreknowledge, God does predestinate. And so He knows, God doesn't pick and choose some. He knows ahead of time what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. It cleared up predestination. Now the Bible says, Jesus said, if you continue in My word, you're My disciples, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And you know what happens? The truth actually makes you free as you hear the Word of God. because this made me free. I have no questions in my mind anywhere about predestination. I'm free from that thing. I have no questions in my mind as far as the identity of Jesus Christ. The Bible is too clear. He is the only begotten Son of God who is a man that God had made to be whatever he is. Did he have a choice? Could he have been something else? I don't know. There's a scripture that confuses me. And it says that he didn't take the nature of angels, which is spirit, but he took the seed of Abraham. Jesus is a man. I'll tell you what, go out there in 90% of the churches anywhere around us and say that Jesus is a man, and they'll throw you out on your ear. But the Bible says he is. Everything in the Bible says he is. You know how I feel when I run into that kind of a thing, and I'm setting this stage for an argument. Not between us, but just a... you could run into a good argument over this thing. It's like, remember what the disciples said when the Jewish leaders were down on their necks? They said, "You tell us, who should we listen to? You or God?" And you know what my thing is? Who do I want to listen to at approaching 80 years old? It's kind of late to start listening to men again. It's time to listen to God. I am so thankful that God, in his mercy, has allowed us to get into the word that will set us free and it will make us free. No, not set us free. It will make us free. Anyways.
Lord. I'm younger than I was.
Got me in the eye here, so I'm going to turn it off here. Ooh, it's hot. Anyway, you know that the line that from Isaiah 28 that Keith just read from? It says, stammering lips. Actually, in that's the King James. In the NIV, it says... Let me, with foreign tongues and foreign lips and strange tongues. So, stammering, instead of stammering, it's foreign, different. So, probably just meaning the same thing. He speaks to his people. Well, how does he expect them to understand what he's saying if he speaks to them with a... foreign lips and an unknown tongue? How's he going to do? How's that supposed to happen? You know, as far as I'm concerned, no wonder they didn't listen to him. I'm being the natural man, of course.
Yeah.
You know, but if he wants to get something across to them, I'd suggest that he use their own language. You know, that'd work better. I'm being the natural man.
I think that's what did get their attention, is that he was speaking in their foreign language.
Yeah, I don't know what, but isn't that somehow so characteristic of the Lord?
Yes.
To put that dilemma there in front of us and say, make sense of this, natural man. You know. And it says something to us. It says, this brain ain't going to work for this job. You know, that's what it says to us. And, you know, that occurs so often. It's just over and over and over and over. This brain just isn't going to do the job, you know. Now, I guess his gripe with the... with the folks here is that they thought the brain would do the job. You know, they didn't listen. They didn't listen. You know, even though we used stammering lips and an unknown tongue. I get the lesson for us is that, hey, we better listen, even though it's not going to do the job in the natural. We better listen. We better listen. We better have our spiritual ear to hear what he has to say. So. Also, what Keith just brought in connection with predestination, it just Bingham kind of cleared it up for me, too. You know, we've always said, well, what predestination is he knows ahead of time what we're going to do. So, therefore, Well, I've always had a little trouble with that because there is, where is it, in Romans? He says, them he foreknew, those he did predestinate. Okay. Well, if all that foreknowing is predestinating, if predestinating just means foreknows, why did he just say those he foreknew, and that leave off the predestination thing? You know, there's no point in repeating him. You know, But what Keith said, it kind of crashed through for me. He foreknew. He knew what they were like, what they would do. And because he, knew their character, knew their heart or whatever, he kind of tweaked things. He arranged, he moved the pieces around a little bit to make sure that what was in their heart, what they were, what was in their essence, was gonna work. And I have felt the Lord move the pieces around on my behalf. Some people would call that cheating. I don't know. It just means that the one that should win does win. Like in a football game. I suppose if you were a Vikings fan in the playoffs here recently, the Lord would have come with a big wind and pushed that field goal that went kicking off to the left there. Would have gotten it inside of, because they should have won, somehow.
Maybe the Lord.
Well, maybe the Lord. Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah. Maybe the Lord is a Packers fan. I'm getting off the subject. In any event, the whole business of predestination it's been a pebble in my shoe,
Yeah, me too.
And I don't know. I think that pebble just got removed from the shoe because the process of foreknowing meant that he was pushing things around, moving the pieces a little bit to make sure that what he knew should happen does happen.
That word on Viking field goal
in 10 hours. You?
Sticking on the predestination thing, I'm kind of simple, so this has just never bothered me. God is God, and I am man. God made man. God knew from the beginning that man was going to fail. God gave us mercy and grace. God knew that we would need mercy and grace. God also knew that we'd need his son to show us the way. I guess I just haven't decided or been hung up on whether God is trying to make things happen the way God thinks they're going to happen. If we believe the scripture that God knows man's heart, he knows. So the rest of that stuff, I don't know if it really makes any difference. But it is good to have the conversation. I'm just saying, I'm not letting that bring me down of all the things I've got to worry about because I can't riddle that one. I really can't. I don't know what is God's intent there. I do know he knows my heart, and I do know he wants me to be saved. And I do know he's going to give me every opportunity to do that. What happens after that is up to me.
Yeah.
I've been thinking a little bit, you know, there's, we sometimes ask ourselves, you know, have we changed? You know, what's God doing, you know? So I want to read a scripture setting because, in a way, I kind of mocked this a few years back in my ignorance and my lack of understanding. But John 14:8, and Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffice us. And Jesus responds, Jesus saying unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has sent me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does us the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father.
Glory.
My point is, for many, many a year, I couldn't get that. I think I got a glimmer of that. What that before meant to me is, he is a me and I and him, he and we are all together. And which is also a very popular lyric of a popular song. But the point is, that's the way my natural mind saw it. That's where God had me. Today, I know what that's telling me. And today, I'm comfortable in the fact that, yes, God dwells in me. And yes, God sent Jesus. And yes, Jesus said nothing except what God wanted him to say because Jesus was so in tune with his Father. So how else do you tell a natural-minded person that this thing and this thing are so alike, they appear to be one? I don't know how else you do it. But I know if you are continually looking at it in the natural, you'll just never get there.
Good.
You'll just never get there.
Okay.
One other thing. Mm-hmm. Along that line, I'm played a song now a few times. I've heard it many times. And I like catchy melodies. And those of you who've listened here long enough know that I kind of, despite Seattle, have a penchant for percussion. So My music choice might tend to lead a little bit heavier towards drums, but that song, Thrive, you know, it's very simple, but it sort of needed to be reminded me, we are set apart from all the living things that God has created. Now, we talk about it. Yeah, I did, you know, and we kind of lip service it, and all of a sudden, you know, it's kind of like, wait a minute. That's just not trivial. I mean, we aren't supposed to go through life. We're supposed to go through life seeking Him. No other living thing has that, I don't want to say edict, but has that responsibility or accountability. If we want everlasting life, we need to seek Him with all that we are. So we don't live or we don't exist. We were built and designed to thrive. Yet, you know, God has a sense of humor because He designed us the way we are. He designed us so that without Him, we're not going to get there.
That's right.
You know, for a while, that really stumped me. It's kind of like, well, why don't you stack the deck? Mm-hmm. Well, it is kind of stacked, but if you all know me, my testimony is I need to be really right under His thumb, because if I'm left to my own devices, I'm in deep trouble. Mm. I demonstrate that too often. I thank God for keeping me where He's keeping me. I need to be humble to continue to remind myself of who He is and who I am. I think back when God showed Moses, and He told him. I mean, you think about that. He laid it all out for him. You need to do these things, but you're not going to do them. You're going to fail miserably. I mean, so here's your future. You know exactly what to do. You are seeing the the manifestation of God on a daily basis through Moses. And he comes out and tells you, despite the direct word from God, your human nature is going to fail and let you follow him. That doesn't give me a pass, but it certainly makes me understand that human nature isn't on my side. It's on the enemy's side. And I have to be looking at it and striving for Jesus and God on the spiritual side, or I won't get where I want to be going. And I'm okay with that, because that says, if I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling, this is exactly what I got to be doing.
May not look like it's going to tie in right away, but I think it will. You got to be careful, but I can't say, well, I had this thought, because this thought is not my thought. You know, I couldn't think this thing. But anyway, just some elementary principles came to me this morning. And do you know that, and, you know, I'm just going to say it, it's up to you whether you're not, you think that's right or wrong, but that when to know good and evil is a curse. I never thought of it kind of that way. And that's when man's mind really got natural. So, you know, because, and I happened to read it, and what caught me was because the enemy, the way he did it with Eve was, don't you want to be wise? And there's a lot of little lessons in all of that. Because I said, yeah, see, that's the trouble with you women, you know. But, well, I mean, it is. It was obvious it was a weakness. But, as a man, I have a weakness, you know. Because sometimes we don't really, and whatever the consequences might be, want to be the leader in the home as far as trying to protect those in our family. You can't say it's a legalistic thing. You know, you can't lord over anybody. And you can't make demands either way. Either spouse should never demand anything, you know, of one another. It should be, and I'm guilty as this, you know, this is all hindsight, of course, and a lot more that could be seen yet. But, you know, it always should be out of gentleness and what, you know, it should be just, I think you know what I mean anyway. So, then I heard a guy this morning a little bit, and it was about thinking, you know, there's a one faction that says, you got to learn to think for yourself in the natural world, you know. And then there's the side that goes, no, we need to think for you because you're not smart enough. So I've come to find out that I don't need to think for myself. And I certainly don't need somebody else thinking for me except one. And that is my Father and His Son and this Word. And you know, that's the thing. Think about this. When you're born from above, God's saying, I just took away the curse. If you want. I'm going to give you a spiritual mind that's not natural. And that's beginning to mean so much to me. You know? And I was listening to this fellow, and what he was saying was, it was making sense, you know, it was good, and he was quoting Paul, you know, where it says, you need to bring your thoughts into captivity, da-da-da. And it's funny, but at the end of the thing, we'll send you out all these booklets, But at the same, and he made a statement. And here's where the church has really been tricked, in a sense. And all of them don't think this way, but him, he went, you know, we don't need to say the word of God, that the Bible is the word of God, and that who Jesus Christ is. And I went, oh, really? See, he took it for granted that, oh, yeah, we know it's the Word of God, and we know Jesus Christ is the Savior. But you really don't know what the Word of God is, because neither did we. And we really didn't know who Jesus Christ was. And if you get to know that first, then you'll start seeing that I don't need anybody's booklets. I don't need to think in my own natural mind. In fact, I will, like was brought so vividly, you will get nowhere in your natural mind. You won't get it. I think Corky said that. You won't get what God wants. So anyway, so that was a thought, you know, in the beginning, da da da. And then I happened to just, I don't know why, I went to Chronicles. I wanted to, or I just happened to open the Bible up, I think, and it opened up to Chronicles, and I saw King Hezekiah. And it was really interesting because what I started to see, because I started saying, why am I reading a lot in the Old Testament so much, you know? And what it started to do is it really laid out who God is and all he's ever wanted. It's almost like every generation he has tried to call out to bring them back to him, because every generation falls away.
Yeah.
You know? And he's always trying to bring them back. So, and then in that thought I went, yeah, you know, so many times I thought, I am so glad I don't have to go through all those festivals and the burnt offerings and this day of the month and that day of the month. And then the Holy Spirit said, yeah, all you have to do now is just consecrate your whole self. Can you do that? And that's where it is. It is now. You're supposed to give your... And you know what? I finally saw the high places. You know, so many of it said they did everything right, except they still kept the high places. And what are the high places? And with... In Hezekiah, at the end, I think it's in there, or else it's... I went to Kings, because the story gets told, you know, from kind of Isaiah saying it, and whatever. And it said, and the people, and they did everything right, but they still presented the burnt offerings in the high places, but unto God. You know what? I do that every day. I got places that are not his. And I'm thinking I'm doing good because I'm serving God. But I haven't given up these high places yet. And they're just things in our life that are more important than being totally consecrated. But you know what? There's still, therefore, no condemnation in them that are in Christ Jesus because of foreknowledge. And you know, I was thinking about that. You know, like Charlie said, he shuffles things around and gets you to a place. You don't know that he's doing that at the time he's doing it. But the blessing is, if you can see it later, that he did that for you, then you know what? If you're being attached to this word and being spiritual, it just keeps enhancing his mercy and grace for you. You know, doesn't that come as a testimony all the time when you start seeing those things that he's been doing in your life? And it makes you... Well, the devil kind of really wants to condemn you and make you feel ashamed that, well, then why aren't you more? Well, I'm becoming more, a little at a time, every day, you know? So anyway, I've started seeing that, you know, and we need to probably realize this. God, why are we talking about what we're talking about? Because God wants it.
Yes.
This isn't an accident that we fell into this Word of God. It's not. And if you want to think about it, he's calling to get to... And you know, in listening just to the guy this morning, but I know I could have listened to a lot of them. They have all kinds of ways for you to be better. Repentance is never mentioned. And in every time that God called on his people to come back, that's exactly where he wanted them first. Then I'll do this, he says. I'll bring it all back to you. I'll fulfill everything that, you know, you had and maybe got taken away because you went away from me. So, you know, and it's a good lesson. See, we hate to think that this beloved America has maybe fallen away. And we're all guilty. But can it come back? Well, I don't care about if it comes back naturally. I want to come back to where God wants what he wants, because we've went away from him. You know, and he could bring it back if there's that much time, or it could just be getting us ready to present what's the events of the last days and to save those. See, and the other thing that's always said when he called out to Israel, he wanted to reach their hearts. And those that heard, they were totally affected right away. And if you read there, it's like, and then he, all of a sudden, these people had this calling, if we want to use today's language, to come and fulfill what the Lord was asking through a prophet, or the king. It was the king in this case. Because the God convicted the king. And he saw that there was this word of God, and they weren't keeping it. And he was affected to where he said, we got to change. We got to change this. And he had to call out to the Levites and priests. Well, for a while they were having problems because enough of the priests weren't heeding the call right away and weren't getting consecrated. So then he had to ask the Levites to help in the... And I don't want to get into all the little particulars, but, you know, because there was a certain way the priests were supposed to cut up the offerings, you know, and bring the blood. Well, there weren't enough of them, so then they just said, Lord, you know, in your mercy and grace, let the Levites come in and help. You know, and they did. And it got done, and God honored it. And it says, yeah, they didn't do it, this, but God honored it. But what happened with Hezekiah, it took like a couple different times. He got humble, he prayed to the Lord and repented, and God heard him, and God blessed him and gave him all the things to say to the people to bring him back. And then he got kind of high and mighty. And then, fortunately, he realized it, repented again for having pride in himself that he had all this kingdom that was prospering. And then it says, right at the end of his reign, and God, see, in the process, they were going to be attacked, and that's another thing. God, here's this great army that they're facing, and God goes out and slays all the commanders. Is that crazy? Yeah. But he can do that. I got to try to find the thread here now. Okay, so okay, I'm in 32 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 32:26. I'm going to start in 25. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. He and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. Now it goes on to say he had great riches, storehouses and everything. And he was the one that stopped the water, which, you know, so that the armies didn't have water when they put siege around his city. Changed it to where the way it flowed. It says, Hezekiah prospered in all his works. However, regarding the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, whom they sent to him to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land. Now listen, God withdrew from him in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. Oh, really? God would pull back from you? I know he's pulled back from me. And it tested me, you know. And then it goes on. So, what happened? So, I thought, let's see. Now, the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, indeed, they are written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, and in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. So, I went and read. I found the spot in Kings where it referred to these, and I don't know, it calls them a different name. It doesn't say ambassadors. But what it was is these guys came from a foreign, you know, land, people. And they wanted to see his kingdom and why he was so favored. And he went and showed them everything. In other words, yeah, see what God did for me? So I can't, I don't know, I should go and see it. I can't remember now how it ended, but I don't know if that's a spot, because at one point God was going to take him, you know, and he was sick. He had a boil. And then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord gave him another 15 years also. So anyway, what happened is, this is bad. I should have remembered this. I can't remember if he repented right after, you know, if he saw what he had done. I don't know if the Lord leaves the door open. Sometimes he does that. He doesn't say what happened in his heart, you know. So, but what that did is it said, see, that's how much God is in control. You know, He's affecting our lives like you can't believe, you know. And little things I've just noticed. It's like there wasn't always a rainbow. That's a simple, silly thing. But if when you know it, God said, I'm going to let, every time you see this, it's a promise that I will never flood the whole earth again and wipe out mankind. I mean, I don't know, you know, I take it for granted a lot of times when I see a rainbow. There wasn't always a rainbow in the sky till God said, I'm going to do this. And what was, there was one other thing too that was a sign, but I can't think of it. But anyway, so, you know, when we think of predestination, all of that, gee whiz, you know, it doesn't matter that it matters, but it doesn't matter that he knows. The fact is that I don't know.
That's right.
Yeah. Until something happens.
Uh-huh.
And you know, and people, and so, but people can say, well, then yeah, what do we got to worry about? But see, that's where you go to your natural mind, and you think you can affect something, or that it's just like it is, and it'll be fine. The minute you do that, you just wiped out. Well, and that's crazy. God knew you would, maybe some will think that way. But they won't realize it till it's too late. And they're at the judgment seat, you know? And boy, we don't want that, you know? So all of a sudden I started thinking, yeah, consecrated, my whole being consecrated. That's a tough one. But I, you know what? I believe God can get me there if he wants me there.
Amen.
You know? Yep. And I may go through some struggles in between there and wrestle with some things, you know? Because we just are so naturally minded, even though, and I've been preaching this to myself for, I don't know, months or a year now about I'm born again. I'm a new creature. I'm from above now. But I still have this body. You know, and it's crazy when you I mean, you can read things up when that Paul says and other parts of the Bible that say, yeah, but you're going to be okay. And you know, and there are days when I know I'm going to be okay. The faith is there. And it's not because I'm good, you know. But then there's other days when I just think I may actually be taking advantage of His grace.
Yeah.
You know?
Me too.
But then I think, but then if I'm His, He'll get me out of that. You know? So it's a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is.
And it is amazing how this God, you know, you can't stop and think about how He can know all that stuff. You can't. I mean, I can't even get close to that in my so-called spiritual mind, you know, other than I just know He has been, always will be, and He is in control of everything. You know, there was one little lyric in a song. It's not a big deal, but it's just that to where, you know, that's where a lot of people, where we've been. It says, and we worship the great I Am, the Lamb of God. Well, that's not, you know, we know that's not really how it is. The great I Am is not the Lamb of God. He's the great I Am. And the Lamb of God is another one we can worship because of the great I Am, you know. So, yeah, it's a good thing.
The Bible tells us in the third chapter of John, Jesus talked to Nicodemus, and He told him, He said, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. And that didn't make any sense. And unless we're looking at something like visualize or imagine or have an idea. You know what I'm saying? To see, you know how we'd say, we don't actually see it with our eyes, but it's in our, we can form it. We can imagine this place. And then a little while later, He tells Nicodemus, He said, you must be born of the Spirit and of the water in order to enter into the kingdom of God. And one of the things that I'm beginning to realize, see, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, and, of course, we haven't necessarily appreciated that, and I haven't either. But what it is, it gives us a doorway into a realm of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, up to that point, we can't get past the natural. We're limited to the natural. We have to be born again in order to enter into this other... It's like in Revelation, like I said, he that hath an ear... Well, in some places, see, he has ears to hear. Well, if you have natural ears, you can't hear the Spirit. So something has to happen spiritually to us in order to be able to hear the spiritual things. Well, what's happening, and this is a thing that is so amazing, is this word. And Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're spirit. Well, yeah, they're life, but they're spirit. And the spirit part has to register with us. So what we do, we can't interpret this with a natural mind. And so in the last part of the second, or First Corinthians, the second chapter, it says, who has the mind of God, or the mind of the Lord? You're talking about God, that He might instruct him. And then it says, but we have the mind of Christ. And I thought, no. We potentially have the mind of Christ. But it only comes as the... See, he had no problem with the spirit realm. We're the ones with the problem. And so we have to have something to bring us into the spiritual realm where we can understand and hear what the Spirit is saying. What is the Spirit saying? You know, the Spirit that we're hearing had been saying the same thing since... forever and ever. Nothing's new in what the Spirit is saying. Is it? But we haven't had the ears to hear it. And so we get born again. We get filled with the Spirit. And I'm not so sure that being born again and being filled with the Spirit are different. It says in 1 Peter 1:23, it says, being born again, not by corruptible seeds, but by incorruptible, by the Word of God. So we're born again by the Word. We're not born again some other way. We're only born by the Word of God. And we can go to some meeting somewhere and we're saying, oh, I just got saved. I just got born again. I just whatever else. But I tell you, the truth of the matter is, we're only born again by the Word of God. And if we go into a church that does not preach it, we're not born into the Word of God. We're not born again in the same measure. We're born into a church. Remember what Jesus told the Pharisees? He said, you come a sea and land to make a proselyte. And when you make him and you bring him back, you make him twofold the son of the devil as you are. What does that tell me? If we're not following the prescribed system of the Spirit, and we're trying to do this in the natural realm, we're going to make proselytes, but they're not going to be proselytes of God. They're not going to be sons of God. They're going to be something else. And, you know, I hate to say this, but I will anyway. But we are surrounded by lots of people that I doubt are part of God's kingdom. A lot of people. I don't think they are. Because remember what it said back in Isaiah? It said, with stammering lips and another tongue. This is the rest wherewith you cause the weary to rest. But they would not hear. They wouldn't hear. You know what? We have a lot of people that have this Bible just like you do. And in their Bible, it says, you must be born again. It says, you must be born of the Spirit and of the water. And you must, and it gives the examples of speaking in tongues and all of these things. And I'm thinking, how can people read all of these scriptures? It's in their Bibles as well as mine. And not see it and not believe it. Are they going to be excused in the day of judgment? I gave you a promise. Receive the Holy Spirit. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I will give you the power to become this, you know, to be my witnesses, and so we don't do it. We don't go after the power. We don't want the spiritual end of the thing. We want to do this naturally. Are we going to be excused? Anyway, I have my doubts.
Yeah, those are troubling issues.
Yes, it is.
Let me say, though, that, gosh darn it, I know my own heart, and it, a lot of times, it fails just as bad as what you're talking about, Keith.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's just as bad. And I have less excuse, of course. Well, maybe I won't make it, you know. But oh my, his grace, you know. Oh my, his grace. But I don't know. I don't know. But I know my own heart, and I know the way it fails for really trivial reasons. Oh my, it's trivial. But anyway. Kind of along those lines, Ken was talking about, you know, what we're called to in the new covenant is to consecrate ourselves. And, ooh, what a tall task, what a big task that is. And yes, it is, it's a big task. And yet, can you imagine anything that would make you happier than to have done that?
Yeah.
You know? My, what a
great life. Oh, that would be so wonderful, wouldn't it? To live a consecrated, a life that was fully consecrated to Him. I can't think of anything that would create any, you know, any iota of happiness close to that. Isn't it funny we don't do it? Just one more thing before I get down. The talk here earlier about predestination and foreknowledge and predestination. There was a movie called The Minority Report. I don't know if any of you have ever seen it. It was a natural take on all this difficulty. But it kind of hit the nail on the head. It takes place in the future, and somehow or other, there's some really big computer or something that knows what's in people's minds. I don't know if it's hooked up electronically or whatever. But it is it's kind of like foreknowledge, and they, in order to prevent crime, they send in the police just like 30 seconds before someone is going to commit this crime, which they know about is going to, you know. And that cuts down on crime. Yeah, the police arrest them before they get the chance to do it. And then there's problems with the whole deal. It didn't work out. Well, the reason for that is because the foreknowledge wasn't 100%. It was only 85-90% or something, you know. If it was 100%, then that would kind of like be God's predestination. And of course, God's not at 85-90% on foreknowledge. He is at 100%, you know. So if you put God into the movie, it wouldn't turn out bad, it would turn out good. That was, you know, I'd throw that little bit in.
I've been a little quiet on the subject, but I need to give God the glory for his attention to my little endeavor in life. On a humorous note, I got to speak to Moses last week. Not the Moses in the book, but I spoke to Moses. The more humorous part about that was I was speaking to Moses at Three Angels Broadcasting Network. So I get a call, and they're interested in what my company sells, and you know, one thing leads to another, and you know, I court the evangelical opportunities pretty hard given my background, and I just sitting there thinking, I'm speaking to a broadcast network, and I'm speaking to Moses, and Moses is deciding whether or not he's going to buy my stuff. And Moses did buy my stuff. And so those of you who have DirecTV, 3ABN, I'm now helping them do what they do. So praise God.
All of everything that's been said today, from Keith first getting up and then Corky and Charlie, Corky again, blah, 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 everybody, with the possible exception of Moses and buying Corky stuff. But I was kind of glad for the lighthearted part of it because I just, this and I have to say this because I'm saying it to me. You guys don't have to listen if you don't want it, but I got to say this. The conviction is there again. keeps happening, you know, week after week after week. And it's, I think Keith hit on it when he said, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. But that's it. I don't have any power. I'm walking around just in the Holy Ghost. No power. I don't know. But I don't even know what the step to take is to make me different and to make this all happen, you know, in me, to be the one bringing the light, you know, out there where the dark flees away. That's what we're supposed to be doing. I don't know. I'm thinking I may just have to start coming over here just praying for God's Spirit to come down in power, because I'm like Charlie's right. Well, what would be better than that? Yeah? So why am I not doing it then? Why am I just, you know, like Ken will say, yeah, well, how come there's still this area then? And how come, you know, I have this body? Yeah, we all do, but we're supposed to be doing this other thing, see? So anyway, and I know I can't do it myself. I know it has to be the Spirit. I don't want to worry about it. What's the word? That's the devil. I want to pray about it. I want to, I want him to foreknow that, yeah, that's what I want, because I want him to arrange everything. So I will be there. But over and above all that, I'm just like getting tired of being me or something. I'm getting tired. I'm getting sick and tired of just being this way. And why, you know, I want to be the other way. I want to be the other person, the one who's, okay, so maybe that's a good thing. I'm getting sick and tired. I don't know. If you have any other big insights, I'll take it. But I mostly had to say it for me, okay? And I don't know what to do. Other than, you know, if you can start doing it legalistically, okay, I'm going to do this, blah, 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 and then that never works. That always just falls away. So, I don't know. I guess I'm going to call for mercy to, you know, get me to that place or whatever. And, you know, whatever. Okay, love you guys.
Well, Gene, I've been wrong a lot of times, and I could be wrong again. Real easy. But I think that the end of time is on us. I really do. I don't think that we have a lot of time left. And according to the dream that I had, it was close. You know, the Lord is coming. You just have time. And that's 50 years ago. But anyway, I'm going to quote a scripture verse, and then I'm going to emphasize it the way that it is really meant. God is going to finish the work, and God is going to cut it short, and God is going to make a righteous work. For a righteous work will he have upon the earth. Do you see one? Do you see one in you? I'm going to make an admission. I don't see one in me either. But I do know something. God is going to do what God is going to do, what God is going to do, and we have kind of floundered around this thing, but it's like whatever I try to do in myself, I fail miserably. But I was given a revelation that I have been passing this thing on for however many years. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, but the Word wasn't God. No, that's not true, and you know it. And the Word was God. You know what that tells me? When Peter said, by these exceeding great and precious promises, you become partakers of his divine nature, what we got to do is try not to panic. Try not to panic. Let's encourage each other not to panic. Now, I can say some things, and I don't mean to cause panic. I don't mean to do that. But I feel some pressures, too. I feel these things. You know, and like a statement I made about, you know, what's going to happen? Well, you know what? God had mercy on you. And like Chuck said years ago, God can have mercy on them guys. But the thing that is scary is that back in Jeremiah, it says that God is going to bring one of a city and two of a family. And it's like a few, many are called, but few are chosen. Few there be that find it. And so I'll tell you what, if you know God is working with you, hang on to Him. You know, get a hold of Him. And that's what we got to do because I tell you what, let me give you a real slim chance. There were lots of Pharisees, a lot of Pharisees in the days of Paul. One Pharisee got stopped on the road to Damascus. And his friends persecuted him and tried to kill him. You see the odds? God's going to finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. But He's going to bypass the people that refuse to come to his supper. And it looks to me like it is an old line major denominational church systems that have been formed. And He's going to go to the highways and the byways. And you know what? Some of the highways and the byways may be within those churches. There may be people in the churches, but I don't think the church system as so had much of a promise. There's a resistance. And you know what the resistance is? The resistance is towards God. Why do I say that? Because the Word was with God and the Word was God. It still is Him. This is the Word that God spoke to us through the prophets. It still is His Word. You can't resist what is in it and not pay a price. You know what Paul said in the first chapter of Galatians, the 8th and the 9th verse? He said it in both verses almost exactly identical. If anybody comes and preaches any other gospel, even an angel from heaven, what is already preached, he's going to be cursed. So what if we ignore? I mean, you see, what people don't understand is, and this is the thing, this is where faith comes in. God Himself has kept this the way that it is. Charlie got up and read something out of another translation. You know what? It's not any different than what's in this translation. I have come to an amazing revelation by the Spirit. We are not dealing with lots of different books of God. They say things a little bit different. They say exactly the same thing. And when we come to major revelations that we need, like the identity of the Son of God, I can't find any of them that say anything different than the fact that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, a man. I can't find any of them. I have looked and I've looked to see any of them that are major line. I mean, Joel Osteen's new book of the Bible might be different. I don't know. I haven't read it. But they can't change it. You know why they can't change it? Can you tell me why they don't change it? I know. Because God won't let them. He won't let them get away with it because it is too vital. And we stand right in the end of God's work that He wants to finish in righteousness, Gene. And as far away as you and I are at this moment, it ain't going to matter. God's going to get us there. You know why? I can hear it in Gene. You know why He's going to get us there? Because you want to. I want to. Have I reached any great plateau? Not a chance. I understand Paul. I associate with Paul. He says, I'm a miserable wretch. And you know what I deserve? I don't even want to tell you. It ain't good. But God's bigger.
It wasn't cutting you off.
No, I'm shaking so bad I can cut all. I got to sit down.
I want to share. I've shared a little on this before, but it really got clear this morning about ears to hear. I started seeing somebody, you know, and we were very, very compatible. I mean, really had lots of likes and just got along great. And I laid everything out in front right away when we first met, you know, that I wasn't going to be involved intimately with anyone unless I was married, and you know, and that the word of God and whatever was very important to me. And that was all accepted, you know. So then, and actually I didn't realize it, but we were actually kind of seeing each other for almost 2 years. I didn't realize it was that long. But here's what God did. And this is to the glory of God. Ken, bet your head. Because here's what would have happened if it had been me. We'd be married. We probably would. I'm almost positive we would have been married if I hadn't had ears to hear. But God kept putting this scripture in my mind that said, do not be unequally yoked. It's one thing if you're married, one of you gets saved. There's a stipulation for all of that. But if you're not, then this comes into play. And this is just what was done for me. You know, I'm not going to put it on anybody else. And believe me, I'm not judging this woman. I mean, you know, she's where she's at now. It doesn't mean that God isn't going to touch her later, you know. But what it got down to was I was trying to present what it is to be born again. Oh, I am. I know I'm going to heaven. And, you know, and so I wouldn't get in real strong discussions, but there were discussions. And what I just seen this morning is she just did not have ears to hear what that really is. Because I said, no, if this happens, you'll know because you'll be different. And that just, it just was not received. And so then it was like, and it just said, and all I kept hearing was, do not be unequally yoked. And it's like, and it would have been so nice. I mean, you know, you get two households, you got more money because you only got one house to pay for, da-da, both work, you know, da-da, oh, wonderful. But I just, no, I can't do this. I just can't. The Word of God says no. And I heard it, I mean, it was embedded. You know, that if I heard that one thing, that was one of them. I've heard a lot more things since then that I have to deal with, but... So we just drifted apart. That was it. Still friends. You know, I've seen her once or twice since, but then, you know, I'm thinking, you know, and I did just happen to kind of bump into somebody and went one place. And now, you know, I'm starting to look and I'm going, do I really want to complicate my life like that? That's no offense to anybody else. But it, because I keep hearing Paul also saying things. It's, if you're not, it's a lot better if you don't. And I didn't really want to hear that because I like companionship. And you like doing things with people. But I started noticing when I met this person just recently, I started going, oh, do I want to try to arrange something for this weekend or not? And it was kind of like, no, not really. You know, because, and I'm, you know, it's funny, you get to kind of like your independence, and I don't want to get totally caught up in that either, you know. So it's kind of like, and I've kind of felt like God's been saying, you know, I want to use you, and do you want to be tied into somebody else? Because that could get in the way. And so, you know, it's a struggle. I mean, and it's not, yeah, I'm getting older. I'm older, definitely. But it doesn't mean you couldn't still have a relationship. But it's like, so it's kind of like, no, God would have to just totally say, yeah, you're incapable of being alone. I'll put you with somebody because you're just you know. Because I'll tell you the one thing, when you're with somebody else, it makes it a little easier to not give in to some things. I mean, I'm talking about just little things in the world, not, you know. And because it's kind of like you got another conscience. And then I thought, yeah, maybe that's why what he wants me to deal with. And I kept thinking, yeah, aren't I supposed to stand alone for my God? You know? So, I don't know if you see, I'm kind of sharing this because God won't do the same thing, but he may do something like that in your life that lets you know that he's brought you a little farther. You know, and it's like, geez, yeah, am I there? Heck no. But do I see improvement? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Great. I mean, to me, it's great improvements, but God might say, but there's a whole lot bigger one to come, you know? But I can't handle it right now. But God, have I seen? Yes. I mean, my selfish self would have just said, yeah, get married, you know? Live a good life. And I just couldn't, because the conviction and God's word, it got buried too deep. And on them years of listening, you know, that part of it anyway, in that aspect. So that's why, you, like he said, you got to be encouraged that he's going to get us there.
Yes, he is.
I mean, that's a huge step for me. For some other reasons that I'm not going to, that would be a lot more private that I don't want to get into, but I'm amazed that's where I'm kind of at this point. That's just amazing to me because I know who I've been, and it ain't nothing like that. I mean, there's still parts, yes, but a great part of it is it's just not me anymore, and that's a miracle to me, you know, and I have nothing to do with it. That's the good part. I never, if I'd have kept being what I was, I'd be so far from where I am right now. Mm-hmm. If it hadn't been for this word of God.
Glory.
I mean it. Nobody could have preached to me to get me to that place. I know that.
That's right.
It took the word of God working on me and his kind convictions and his long suffering. My goodness. You know? And I'm probably going to ask him to suffer longer, you know, but that's okay. He's big enough, obviously, you know, and he's got enough patience for the whole world, you know, for the whole world's impatientness, you know, to a point, which is also the fear of God that comes in, you know, and that's why you got to know that part too. Oh, you just go, yeah. Living good. God's with me. Boop. Which is where most of the church is. Oh, yeah, God's with me. Yeah. I mean, I'm not with him, really, but I know he's with me. Well, if you're not with him, he ain't with you, in a sense, you know. So, I mean, it's incredible when you stop and think, and it's not being judgmental. God wants us to see with spiritual eyes and discern where we are as the church, you would say. And you know, and I keep saying, yeah, it's not even the real church. But you know what? Israel's Israel. And yeah, they weren't really the real Israel a lot of the times, but God still reached out and said, I want you to come back and be the real Israel. And I want you to come back, church, and be the real church. You know? That you don't even know what that is. We didn't know it then. We still don't know, you know. But we're getting a little more. I mean, we're getting closer to knowing. And if you don't, you know, like that guy said, yeah, well, we know that the Word of God, you know, we're not going to get in a hassle over who Jesus Christ is and the Word of God. We know it. You know what? That's where the setting comes. Do I have to come back to you and give you milk? Because if that's where you're at, that's what I got to do. You know? Because, no, you don't have it. You don't even have the basic principle that's supposed to be your foundation to carry you on. You know? So, yeah, it's important. And I, too, I've been listening a lot. I got one CD that's just playing Revelations. As I'm thinking, that is such a book to not understand. But I know that some one of these days, God's going to give understanding to somebody. And maybe it'll be different people for different parts of it. But I know it says, it promises that it's a prophecy that you're going to know. So, by faith, I'm listening because I want to know, if possible. Or somebody else, and then I'll know when they say it because I've been listening, you know. That's the other thing that happens. You may not get it right away, but the minute someone brings it, you'll be connected. Boom. You know. So, but not just revelation, because, and then you go back and forth because everything hasn't fulfilled yet what Daniel prophesied and heard. You know? So, but there's so many signs right now that say we got to be close. You know? And like I pointed out, the generation that that's going to happen in is going to see it. You know what I mean? They're going to know. It'll come about. And why are we seeing so much like that? Well, if it's not ours, it can't be. It's got to be the one after us, I would think. Well, you know, I know that's hearsay in a way. But that's what we got to have. We got to be looking with discerning eyes to catch those little hits that God's going to throw out there for His people that are listening to His Word. And you know what? People say, well, what do you think? You're so special. Hey, you can be just as special. It wasn't our decision. You know, Keith didn't make the decision to hear that word. It came to him. Just like it said, God, and that's the one thing that probably gets emphasized so much in the Old Testament is God moved their heart. God changed their mind. God moved on them to all of a sudden want to come back to Israel, you know, come back to Jerusalem or whatever. God always was moving on them and working. And so you can't take credit for anything, you know. But you can thank God that He chose you to hear it. And we should, and I try to every day, and be thankful. And say, I have to say, I don't know why, Lord. I mean, geez, and I know every one of us has been feeling that place in God, that conviction. You can all look at your own selves because you know who you are and say, why me? But thank God.
Yes, amen.
But thank God.
One more.
This will be real quick.
Yeah. When I was reading the Bible out loud to Mary, it was a very blessed time because I was reading out loud and I was hearing at the same time. And at one point this morning I remembered something that struck me. If you go to the book of Matthew and you look and you read, almost every chapter it says, truly I tell you, or, but I tell you, and that's in almost every chapter. So I encourage you to read Matthew with that openness of, He's telling you in Matthew. Okay? Praise the Lord.
Not me yet. Yep.
Wait. I just didn't take the time to take one. I made it over here with an urgent prayer request, but I have a long but short backstory, quick. One is, 19 years ago, after 6 years of prayer, I met a man that I didn't know was going to be literally like Christ to me. And in, I have a little backstory, but one is, when we come up to pray, Pablo hates missing church, just so you know. It's like literally life to him. Not, he knows God isn't tracking points, but it's life to him. And after all week long of listening to the scriptures, he can't wait to hear what someone else heard or what he can bring. And this weekend, you know, he's lost, you know, 100 and almost 50 pounds. And after he's decided to go with the Boy Scouts on some of their outings. So they had a camp this weekend. He was going to go Friday night with them. He left yesterday morning to drive one of the scouts that couldn't leave till tomorrow or yesterday morning. And so he took his weekend and went up there, and I just got a call like a half an hour ago to tell me that he's one of the dad drivers, and 5 minutes past the camp, his truck is smoking, reeks like oil. It just stopped. So they're on the side. They had to have one of the other vans come get Pablo, the other kids. They're that way, I guess, not up north. And unfortunately, with our insurance, you have to take it to the closest whatever, which is in Hudson from where they're at. Or it's $500 more to come to Eau Claire. So I need prayer for that because he needs a truck. You know, being self-employed, he needs a truck. However, I'm sad, but yet it makes me giggle because in a very long story short, I have a husband who believes this word for word. There's no nonsense. There's not any, you know, I used to tell him, well, God helps those that help themselves. And then one day he said to me, where's that scripture? Well, you could perceive that out of the scriptures. You know, he will go with those that do their thing. But that's not a scripture. And so he literally takes this, he doesn't put words in there and then whatever, he literally takes this word for word. And in doing it, he has, over the last couple of years, really wanted a cleansing, a purity. Because God requires a purity in here, 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 and here. We cannot eat everything, but yet eat this. As we're damaging our body, but we're trying to impact our soul. We must be holy everywhere. We're still human. But in that, in the last couple of years, he listens to his earphone, his MP3. He loves his job because he can put it, and he just listens all day long. And so he says, I love being self-employed because I can put that in. And I've watched as his wife. He is the same. When you see him out, that is exactly how he is at home. You can't say that about a lot of people. But he is, to the core, how he is out, how he is at home. And so I have been blessed to watch him. I know that I just get to be his wife. It has nothing to do with me. It's all him, everything. But watching him in the last couple of years, wanting the purification. And this year, you know, he's lost a bunch of weight with Weight Watchers, but he still liked food. Well, his mom said, get the stomach surgery. Well, you still have the desire for the food. He likes food. He's always liked food, but only in his country he used to eat 12 boiled chicken legs. Now there's gravy and there's, you know, and so he understands that he wants purification. So I don't know if you guys remember earlier this year, he was having bad inflammation in his knee, and every night I was rubbing oils on it, and we would pray, and it would go away for a time. And then it was like, the more that we lost weight, well, who cares if we have cake today? Because we're doing so good. And so he was getting so much work last fall that it was good, but he was stressed out. And a couple Sundays, you guys know, he would pray, I just need help with my eating. I just need help with my eating. And I would just tell him, just close your mouth. Stop eating. Because I had the thing of I didn't eat enough calories, which then my body was starving and then I couldn't lose weight. So I would tell him, just don't. And he says, I can't. I can't not. I like food. Oh, okay. So we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed together and we prayed. And then the Lord showed him very clearly that he has a candida yeast overgrowth, which is 85% of the population. It affects you through just acne, or it can affect you all the way through the tremendous impact that it had on him. But through this detox in the last 3 months, I mean, like 90 different things that he thought were just normal for being fat or whatever have just left him. He still gets the dizzy here and there because the yeast is still trying to fight its way out. But he is literally not only changing in here or in here, he's changing here. And it's like I'm just watching this transformation. Like one day will he just float up? And I know it sounds bad and I'm not trying to impress him because he's not here, so I'm really not trying to impress him. But I just have to tell you guys that I, years ago, two different people prayed over him and said, the Lord's going to use you, you know, whatever. And Pablo has always told me, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not going to go into Walmart to pray for people. I'm not, you know. But now, he doesn't want to go pass out tracts. But he's anxious. He would talk to Ken all day long. And I told him, you know what, that's really fantastic. But Ken doesn't necessarily need you. Other people might need you. So he has prayed that the Lord would bring people, bring them to you. They'll see it. You don't need to go and, do you know God? That turns people off. They will come to you. And it's happening here and there. He would like it to happen 30 people a day. That they would, but only Bible. He's not going to say, let me tell you about the Bible. He's going to say, go to the Bible. Go to the Bible. And we were just talking to somebody the other day about that. And they were, she said, Pablo, you are literally like a sponge. Like, I could touch you, and it's just emanating out of you. And I thought, yes, that's who he is. So, the more that his body and his mind are purifying, I told him, you have to beware that the devil isn't happy. People think becoming Christ-like, it's rainbows. It's not rainbows. Your truck is going to smoke and it's going to fall apart. It's just money. However, because of his some of the symptoms he was having, he had to take half days off work, things like that. He would just come home and we would have to pray. We fasted for 3 days. There was nothing else we could do. So, yes, we need money to survive, but we are not starving. If nothing else, zucchini is good priced at Aldi. But we are not starving to death and nothing. But just in the last couple of weeks, there's been different things. He went to his job on Monday or Tuesday, and he was listening to his headphones, and he forgot something out in the truck, and he was walking out to the truck, and he slipped, and he caught himself, and then he was walking back in, and he dropped something that broke, and then his MP3 fell, and the plug-in literally just broke off. Like, it's not even possible. So he stopped. He says, I had to go to Menards and get a charger. I couldn't go the rest of the day without listening to my thing. So he went to Menards. He got the few things that he needed, blah, 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 blah. He was driving back to the job. He forgot the charger. So he had that. Then Tuesday, a month ago, he did a, I apologize for the length of this, but Tuesday he went to do a fireplace for a gentleman that 10 years ago Pablo did tile for. They love Pablo. We know him through the Basketball Association from taking pictures. In October, he called Pablo for this job, and Pablo was busy. And he said, you're the best guy we know. And he works for a local construction company, so he knows a lot of people. But he said, we'll wait for you, Pablo. So Pablo scheduled him for in January. He went, and Pablo did a backsplash for $600 a month ago. We're self-employed. We rely on that. So he did that, and then he says, hey, I got a fireplace for you. And so Pablo said, okay, I don't really have time. He put another big job off so he could quit, because these people want somebody home at all times when Pablo's there, so their daughter was home. So he went Tuesday, and he went and did the fireplace. The guy, it's $600. The guy jewed him down, sort of. Pablo said, okay, for $525, it was the fireplace. So Pablo went, he did the fireplace. Everything was fine. He went on to a second thing to caulk. He was driving home, and the guy called him and left a message. Like, you effing blah, 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 blah. When are you going to come back and finish? I need this done, blah, blah, blah. Pablo was so confused. He went to the job. He just knew the guy was livid, and Pablo's not a fighter. So he turned his phone on, record, just to see, like, what was the problem. He wanted the fireplace to the ceiling, not 5 feet tall. Well, 5 feet tall is $600. He said, well, I want it to the ceiling. Pablo said, well, we didn't discuss. I can't do the fireplace to the ceiling for $500. Long story short, the guy berated Pablo for 34 minutes. He cussed at him and swore at him and said, you're trying to cheat me. And Pablo said, I can have you call 10 other people that I've fireplace 5 feet tall is $500, $600. He berated Pablo nonstop for 34 minutes. And Pablo says, if you don't want to pay me, that's fine. But I can't take this anymore. The wife was very embarrassed. She kept saying, pay him. And Pablo says, just pay me then finally for the for the backsplash, not the fireplace, and I'm leaving. And the guy whipped out all this cash throughout the conversation. He was like, well, I got the money. Pablo, it was almost like Pablo felt like he was, you know, blah, blah, blah. He says, I'll give you $400 for the backsplash instead, or $500. Pablo says, no, it was $600 a month ago. You didn't tell me you wanted it to the ceiling. It was expected. I can't do that. Check in your construction company. It's not the price. But I don't need your money, and I'm not going to work for you. And the guy swore so bad at him. And Pablo kept his calm, and Pablo turned on him and he says, you know what, just keep it all. I got to go. I don't appreciate this. I have to go. Keep it all. Be blessed. I'm leaving. And when he was walking out, the guy was, you know, still cursing at him. And Pablo turned around and he said, this is what I'm going to do for you. The Bible tells me to pray. I'm going to pray for you. Pray for those that curse you. Love your enemies. Like, and so I'm walking out of here and I'm going to pray. Goodbye. And the guy was still yelling or whatever. And so later, while he was talking to him, he told him, he says, well, if you're willing to do the fireplace, if you're willing to just give it to me for free, then why don't you come back and finish it to the ceiling for $500? Pablo says, no, I don't want to work in your home. You have literally destroyed me for 30 minutes. I'm leaving. And so he left. It bothered his spirit for a couple of days. And I told him, me and Dominic both told him, 5 years ago, or 5 years from now, 10 years from now, somebody's going to say, remember that job, and he's going to be like, okay, because he does, he kind of, he forgives and forgets fast. He has to, he lives with me. But he knows, you know, whatever. But I said, that man has to look at that fireplace. You know what I mean? And he said to the guy, have somebody come in from your construction company and finish it then. I'm not coming back to your home. Keep it. Then the gentleman texted him later that night and said, I will pay you for the backsplash in a few weeks or so when I try and figure out F and F and F and F, who's going to finish my fireplace, you know, whatever. And Pablo just let it go. And I told him, you know, me as a wife, I want to get defensive. But I told him, I says, guess what? The closer and the more pure God will ask you of this. It doesn't mean every day is going to be bad or every day is going to be rainbows. But God will ask you of this. And I said, you better beware. You need to decide. Yes, you actually want to be to the point that you might walk out to your truck and there might be three guys throwing rocks at you because you were witnessing or you were encouraging their friend about the Bible and they're not for that. I said, expect to go outside and get thrown a rock at because it will happen. Because it will happen. So I'm super encouraged, and I shouldn't be, because right now the money is January, you know, it's not a good time. He says it may be a gasket. The last time it was a gasket, it was $5,000. So I'm not asking that the Lord take away all the earthly things that we go through, but I'm just asking that the Lord provide and the Lord encourages, and the gentleman not paying us on Tuesday isn't going to help much. But I believe that my husband is on the super pure path, and God's going to require it. And so it was kind of fun to talk without him here. So I didn't necessarily need my Kleenex, but thank you for listening.
The Bible says, through Peter, being born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the Word of God. There's only one way that you can get this incorruptible. And when the Holy Spirit comes, He will lead and guide you into all truth. Let's stand. So if the Holy Spirit is allowed to lead and guide us, let's come up to the front. If the Holy Spirit is allowed to lead and guide us, we will get this in all truth. if I am allowed to lead and guide you, you will get a private interpretation. Do you follow me? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know how you know? Because that's what I did. So, but you know what it says, being born again, not cut by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible. And so if we're born again through corruptible seed, are we born again? Anybody hear me?
Yeah, we're just going to have prayer.
If we're being born again through corruptible seed, are we being born again?
No.
If we're being born again through private interpretations, are we being born again?
Bye.
Okay.